Random thought.
Mm-hmm.
So, is it wrong for a man to ask a woman, so, what are you bringing to the table?
You're asking me this, although you know my answer.
Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been out somewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Yeah, well, we are those people, and we've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, episode 131. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review. You see what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Just very for good. You.
So look, this random thought's coming from Steve Harvey, who was in Club Shay Shay. You know, as much as I hate the name, I love the show, though, because Shannon Sharpe always has some good interviews. And he got this gem from Mr. Family Feud, Mr. Act Like a Man, Think Like a Woman, or is it Think Like a Woman, Act Like... I don't know what the hell the book is. I never read that crap. but he says...
That's what's wrong with this generation today. These young boys today, what do she bring to the table? The hell you mean, man? What do you bring to the table? You got a woman that can come to the table that can make another you. Mm. What else she need to slide up to the table with?
The ability to take care of that you? I think we know too many women who can make another you, a mini you, and can't take care of that one.
But I mean, also, I don't want someone that can make another me, but also brings a couple of them with her. There is that. You know, Steve is very old school, and I get where he's coming from. I think he's coming from that traditional place where the man's job is to take care of his family. And I agree. Mm-hmm. Men, they're having babies with these women. They get married. It's their job to help take care of their family and not to walk out on them, not mm-hmm. to leave them, and all that. Mm-hmm. So any dude to do that, totally wrong in every aspect of it. But here's how I think a lot of people are looking at this from a different standpoint. In today's day and age, you need two incomes, mostly, to be able to make it.
Unless you're Steve Harvey.
Now,
he's got 50 jobs, all of them paying seven figures. He's fine.
True. I mean,
he can take care of all five of his families.
You can't look at through celebrity like Nick Cannon. I mean, yeah. Nick Cannon's fine. He has a whole bunch of babies by a lot of 12. Different people. But it's not as black and white as what he's right. saying. And so I do think not so much what do you bring to the table from a money standpoint? What do you bring to the table from a team values? You know, what are you going to bring to this relationship that's going to make us great outside of just the ability to make another me?
So here's the thing, right? And this is where I get what Steve is saying, but you know, that's what's wrong with these young boys. No, it's not what's wrong with the young boys, okay? Let's get this straight. And I get it. Some of these young fellas, their heads jacked up. And the stuff they want immediately, yes. So something's wrong with them young boys. But at the same time, you cannot excuse the fact that women will come to these young boys. And thank God I'm out of this dating market right now. Jesus Christ. Because, well, what do you got? Well, you going to buy me this? You going to buy me that? You know me. My routine always was this. You know, if I'm in the bar, you like, you gonna buy me a drink? Well, I was till you asked me to. I'm the wrong one for this conversation, first of all.
Well, I think it's a good conversation to have. And I think people, especially single people, need to listen to it. Because do I think that a woman has to bring, again, depending on what you're talking about, I don't think that every man is saying a woman has to bring some type of financial
right.
level to a relationship, but you got to bring something else besides the fact that you can have babies. There are way too many smart, intelligent, business-driven women that are just bosses and can kick ass. They bring something positive to the relationship more than just can they reproduce. And I think that's what a lot of men are asking today. It's what do you bring to the table? Not so much what do you bring to the table because I can't afford to take care of you, but what do you bring to the table?
What if
besides bring, more people to eat, as I always say?
What if they bring good knowledge to the table?
Well, knowledge of what?
You know, good knowledge, you know, because knowledge requires brains.
Okay, but is she bringing...
No, know, go back. Listen to the question again.
I get it. I get it. I haven't had a whiskey yet.
Some people,
yet,
that's so what they bring to the table.
But if that's okay, but if that's all that he wants, because let's be real, there are certain men out there, yes, that all they want is a beautiful woman on their arm who, mm-hmm, doesn't talk much and satisfies them, takes care of their needs. There are men out there who want that.
Right.
And if that's what you want, great. And if that's what she wants to be a part of, great. Mm-hmm. Go after what you want. You know, but I do think it's a valid question to say, what do you bring to the table? And it almost spins off of some of the conversations we had about some of the reality show recaps and some of the commentary I might have made that.
Yeah, Ready to Love, people, the last one.
Had some,
yeah,
people feel some type of way. But but literally, if everybody thought about their relationships as in, okay, what does this person bring? What do I bring? Are we a good match, mm-hmm, to not only, after dating for a bit, marry, reproduce, and bring, right, the kids into this world? I think these are good questions to have, but I think Steve is thinking at it from just a straight financial perspective.
Yes.
But I don't think that's where a lot of men are looking for. You know, there are some trashy dudes out there who are looking for women that make a lot of money and have benefits, mm-hmm, but that's not what I'm saying.
Yeah, because you do have some guys who are going to be like, you know, well, you take care of me because I'm going to lay the pipe and that's it, right? And, you know, just like there's some women who are like, well, look, I'm going to give you this a good place to park your car every day, you know, so... You know, buy me everything that I need and take me where I want to go. I mean, but let's be real. In relationships, there's a give and take. It's one of the things, mm-hmm, that, like, you know, well, what are you bringing to the table is not a bad question, but they're making it into a bad question, right? Because it's a question that's always asked of men. What are you bringing to the table, right? Now, and I guess when you say bringing to the table, that's why it sounds financial. But instead, mm-hmm, what are you bringing to this relationship? What does this other person provide for your wants and needs in this relationship, right? The conversation, because after a while, the looks going to fade. The sex going to fade. And, you know, what else is there? Is that conversation? Is it when it comes to finances? Is it like, look, it doesn't matter who makes more. We're putting all the money in one pile. We divvy this up. Like, I make more money, but you're better with finances, so you determine where it's going. Remember, that was sort of the norm in the American TV household, where it was, you know, the husband brings home the bacon and the wife cuts it up and cooks it and divvies it out, right? So if that works, so be it.
I agree. But I think it's a better question, I think, for women to be asking men. Mm-hmm. You know, if you think a lot of women, if they're going to start dating somebody and really ask them, hey, what do they bring to the table?
Right.
And if you start looking at where this person's at now, they don't have a job. Mm-hmm. They're in between jobs. Right. They haven't really maintained a steady income for a long time. They living at their mama's house. Mm-hmm. They don't bring anything to the table. So why would you continue to date that person? And you should leave them alone until they get their lives in order. And then dudes who don't have their lives in order shouldn't be asking, what do they bring to the table? What do I have to offer?
Right.
And if what I have to offer is the spare bedroom at my mama's house and the car that I share with my mom and dad, you know, whatever, I don't have anything to offer. Thus, mm-hmm, I shouldn't be in the dating market right now until I get my life together.
So basically you're saying no projects.
No.
No project dating. And that doesn't have anything to do with where you're living. It's just no project dating. Like, what was your guy in, what was your frat brother in Love is Blind? Marshall?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know?
Wants a fixer-upper?
Yeah. No fixer-uppers. Just, you know. And I get it in that space, but then the potential is there. People see potential and other people are like, well, I know where this is going. And so, I mean, there's a balance in there, man. I think I get where Steve is going, but Steve, not everybody has Family Feud money, syndicated radio money. And by that, I mean the money that you're making on yours, because everybody on your show ain't even making that money.
but also, I think Steve is also... without speaking, it is also saying something else. Men, if you're not there yet, mm-hmm, don't get involved with these women until you get your life in order. Right. If you are a fry cook at McDonald's making $14 an hour now, because you could possibly make $14 an hour on fries in this economy, you're not ready to be a dad. So make sure that you save a couple dollars, invest in condoms, or really work on your pullout game, but don't get anybody pregnant because you're not ready to be able to handle that responsibility. And you're creating a problem now that the child is going to suffer because of your poor decisions as a man. So maybe he's saying that as men, your job is to take care of your partner and the children that you produce with them. Mm-hmm. If you're not in a financial position to take care of them, don't do it.
And that makes sense. And trust me, there's a lot of fathers out here who thought their or daddies out here who thought that their pullout game was strong. So don't rely on that. Yeah, my pullout game's strong.
Right when my toes start to curl, that's when I know. Tap. Tap out.
Speaking of tapping out, let's get to For the Love of Sports, man. A lot of trash talking in sports recently, right? Especially NBA playoffs going on right now. You know, I'm not paying attention until... Actually, I'll pay attention now because your team is about to face the team that I now support, right? But to get there, there was this guy by the name of Dylan Brooks, who plays for the Memphis Grizzlies, who had a lot to say about LeBron. Get us caught up here for those of us who just really don't care or weren't watching this.
So Dylan Brooks is trying to downplay LeBron and really disrespectfully calls him old. I mean, LeBron's 38, calls him old, says, I don't respect anybody that until they give me at least 40.
Uh-oh.
And I'm just like, okay. I mean, have you looked at LeBron James's records and what he's done for the game? You're just an idiot if you're doing that.
Was this after a good game that Memphis had? Is that what happened?
Yeah. So this was after the early stages in the series, because the series went all the way to game six. Mm-hmm. So this is early stages in the series. So I think this is after game two. So game three comes around. In the beginning of the game, LeBron, you see pregame LeBron and Dylan Brooks having some words. We don't really hear what they say. Dylan Brooks gets thrown out of that game because he accidentally hit LeBron in the groin. Gets ejected in the third quarter. Fouls LeBron, hits him in the groin. Dylan Brooks averaged in the series 10 points. 31% shooting in the whole series.
Wait, so, I can do that.
Yeah. Averaged 10.5 points on 31% shooting in the series. So LeBron, who averaged, I think, 21 points, 11 assists, and I think, 11 rebounds, 5 assists. Mm-hmm. He had a great series, obviously. LeBron, once the series over, they win, because LeBron never addressed the Dylan Brooks deal. They tried to ask him a question about it at the
press conference.
Post-game press conference after game three, and he ended the conference early. He just walked off. So at the end of the series, they win it. They beat them by 40 points in the last game. I mean, they whooped their tail. So then LeBron tweets, if you ever see me fighting in the fours with a grizzly bear, help the bear. And then he did another tweet that was a Jay-Z lyric. And Jay-Z's 2006 track called Trouble. So it was just great to see how LeBron didn't talk trash until the job was done. And then he did. And Dylan Brooks has been silent ever since.
So was that because LeBron just wasn't sure he would get the job done? I mean, because, you know, I know, like, the LeBron trolls probably were behind after him. And he said, you know, if you ever see me fighting a grizzly, help the grizzly. Like, yeah, Jordan would have probably finished him off faster.
Yeah, Jordan would have took me 6 games. We had this wrapped up a lot earlier. You know, I don't know. The Lakers in that series played really well. I mean, their defense was phenomenal.
I want to
point
out, Terrell is a Lakers fan. Continue.
I am a Laker fan, so I'm biased. But they won the series, and they beat the last game by 40 points. They played well. So, but they had really good defense throughout. But I just think James is not the type to talk trash until the job is done. You know, Kobe wouldn't always talk trash until after the game he whooped you. Mm-hmm. And on the court in between, but I mean, nothing.
Oh, yeah.
Public.
But Kobe was like Mike. Kobe and Mike. Mike talked trash on the court to you the entire time, just like Larry Bird did the same thing, right? And that's what Kobe did as well. And LeBron, my biggest problem with LeBron, I know you're a LeBron fan now because he is a Laker, right?
Nope, I'm a Laker fan. Okay. And LeBron can contribute to us getting more championships. Great. But I'm not a LeBron fan.
The bubble doesn't count. The bubble doesn't count.
It counts. It's in the books. It counts. It's a championship.
Really, it's an asterisk.
It's a championship.
It's like Barry Bonds' home run record.
It's a ring. He still hit those home runs. I don't care how many drugs he shot up. He still hit the home runs. So I don't like when people try to say I'm a LeBron fan because that almost like says I'm a LeBron fan first,
yeah,
then a Laker fan. I'm like, no, I've been a Laker fan since Magic Johnson was playing. Okay. I'm a Laker fan.
So, a Laker fan. So now you're on LeBron's, you know. Okay.
No, I'm not.
So I, but I mean, here's the thing about it. I mean, LeBron to me, and I always like what LeBron has done off the court. What he's done off the court, amazing, right? His move to LA, perfect. Because look at all the stuff he's done. The projects him and Maverick Carter have put out, amazing. I love it. Better than anything Jordan has put out, besides the actual shoe, okay? But I will still say this. This debate about LeBron better than Jordan, leave it. And when it comes to trash talking, I think Dylan Brooks really needs to take a, you can't talk trash, and then when you lose, you get shown up in such major fashion that you just go silent. You got to at least either back it up or give props. Take a page out of Ryan Garcia's book. Ryan Garcia talked a lot of trash going into that fight with Javonte Tank Davis, right? Got his ass whooped in that fight. And what did he do after the fight? He was just like, you know what? I got to give it up. You're a better fighter. This and this and this. Hey, can I get your phone number? Literally, at the post-fight press conference, he got his phone number. They're taking pictures on stage. But here's the thing, and I loved about this too. And this is where I think LeBron, and I get it, LeBron has a lot of hate coming at him. He's silent a lot of the times. So he wants to talk, and he's going to talk every so often. The problem is I think he needed to wait till the championship to do this talking. Because after Golden State gets him out, is he going to be as gracious as everybody else, as he wanted Dylan Brooks to be, as Ryan Garcia was in the fight with Tank Davis, right? Tank Davis, on the other hand, a lot of trash talking leading up to the fight, even in the fight, talking to him during the fight. But when the fight was over, very respectful. He could have been like, yo, well, where's all that shit you talking now? He did none of that. Just like, you know what? It was a good fight. Yo, you're good, man. We're going to be good from here. And very humble. LeBron is not doing that right now. And well, that is going to hurt him when he loses to the Warriors.
Yeah, but he's not talking trash to the Warriors. He's not going online on Twitter talking trash to the Warriors. He's not in press conference saying, I don't respect Steph Curry until you put 50 on me, which Steph Curry put up 50 today. You know, so
as we're recording on Sunday, on yes.
Yeah, as we're recording Sunday, he did 50 points today. So yeah. That's not LeBron James' style. But the fact that Dylan Brooks went at him, we shall see. Are the Lakers going to have a hard time with the Warriors? Absolutely. Especially if the Warriors are healthy throughout that whole series. Absolutely is going to be a struggle. But I think Dylan Brooks learned his lesson to shut your mouth and respect your elders. Respect the people been in the game longer than you. Because as soon as if you talk trash on average 10 points.
In the words of The Rock, know your role and shut your mouth.
Yeah. So I'm happy that they lost, and good for Dylan. Take that L, learn your lesson, and come back next year, see what happens.
Yeah, well, we'll see. I guarantee he won't be talking that kind of trash anymore, because even other people have jumped in and, you know, had a lot to say about him not saying anything. Like, yeah, you can't. I'm no LeBron fan on the court, but I will say this. He handled it way better. Talked his trash after. Handled business first. Dylan, if you're going to talk trash, you got to talk trash all the way. Even as you're getting kicked out, you got to talk trash. It's not my fault, ref. He swung his nuts in my way. He did it on purpose, ref.
He put his groin on my hand. I didn't put my hand on his groin.
He jumped on my hand. I know you saw that, ref. Come on. I didn't even know they were there. I didn't think he had any. I would have talked trash all the way out, okay? He always passing the ball. I didn't think he had any nuts.
Yeah, that pass the ball thing. I was annoyed at game 5. I'm like, LeBron, what are you doing? Stop passing the ball. Take it. Take the shot.
Oh, man. Look, man, appreciate everybody sending in this bullshit. Check this one out. Have you ever heard of this before? Getting zombied. We've heard of getting ghosted. But this is new thing. I know America has this new obsession with zombies and the zombie apocalypse, but getting zombied? What is this nonsense?
So getting ghosted is when somebody, you know, you go on a date or talk to somebody and they just don't call you anymore. Mm-hmm. And they go ghost. You can't hear from them. Apparently getting zombied is when they come back. They come back 6 months, 2 years, whatever, slide in your DMs. Hey, you.
Hey, stranger.
Hey, stranger. I was just thinking about you.
Hey, big head.
Yeah. So apparently that's the thing. Wow. And all this stuff has been happening forever.
Yeah. But this is nothing new.
Now you just put a name to it.
Yeah, you know, so that's what you got to thank the Gen Zers for, you know, putting a name to everything because, you know, getting zombied. Does it make it any better knowing you're getting zombied in this space? Or is it just like, all right, come on, it's not a big deal? Because you probably zombied a few people or been zombied before.
Both. Yes, to both of those. And sometimes I'm like, okay, I know I'm going to get zombied and ghosted again, but it's worth it. So you're just like, eh, as long as I know the situation, great. I think it's crappy when people, and this is just, you know, my take on it. I think it's I've done this where you ghost somebody and then you come back, you zombie them, and then you wind up hurting them again. And that's shitty. And it's been
now,
done to me.
Is it the
and
fault
I've done
of
it
the
to,
zombie
to
or the person who got zombied? I mean, because if this person did it before and you saw them just ghost you, don't you think it's going to happen again?
That's the challenge, that, you know, you roll the dice. And I've rolled the dice on both sides, and I got zombied and re-ghosted. And I've also zombied and then re-ghosted somebody, too. It's just unfortunate. I think as a young man, it was common and just no big deal. As an older guy, I'm like, well, now I see how negative that is to do to people. Mm-hmm. And it's not right for anybody to do that to someone else, because you're dealing with a human being. And to get rejected twice, and when you ghost somebody, you don't know why they ghosted you. And so what happens is you create that lifetime movie in your own head trying to figure out what happened. And then it gets done to you twice. So now you're like the Meredith Baxter Burney, just constantly getting beaten movies in your head because you don't even know what really happened.
Okay. So what would this be? So because we talked about this before as well, too, where if you are, you realize that you're the person always initiating, right? Conversation. Mm-hmm. So then you just stop to see if they'll even text back. Then a day, two, three, four. Did you ghost or did they ghost? And then if you reply and say something like, hey, where you been? Are you now zombieing? Or how do these rules work? I'm trying to make sure we understand the proper zombieing and ghosting of what's happening here.
I think it's, If you're in that, what you just described, and you just stop contacting a person, they stop contacting you, well, you both ghosted each other. It's mutual. But if they're texting you, hey, how you been? No response. And then another day, hey, da, 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 and I've done that to somebody. So where I'm just like, nope, I'm not interested. I don't even reply. You know, and so it's possible. But I think that's the difference, is if you both just stop talking to each other at the same time, it's mutual. I don't even put that in the ghosting category. But if someone's trying to reach out to you and you're just ignoring them, you ghosted them. Or vice versa. If you keep reaching out and you don't hear from them anymore, they ghosted you.
Okay. Final question. And we can put this zombie and this ghost to rest. Bury them for good. Which is worse? Getting ghosted or getting zombied? There's only one real answer.
I think it all depends on what happens in between. You know, if you had some good times and they ghosted you, well, at least you had some good times. And then if they come back and zombie you, you're like, well, worst case scenario, I'm going to have a good time.
And that's my point. So stop complaining about being zombied, okay? Because yeah, like, they come back, you get a little bit, and they're gone again. You're like, all right, well, until next time.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'll just sit over here and cry in the corner. God,
I haven't had Ruth Chris in years. That was great. That was a great meal.
Look, enjoy the time you have until the zombie comes back.
Yeah, stay in the moment. Be present. Just stay in the moment. Don't worry about the future. Just, this is great today. If they don't call you anymore, well, today, focus on this.
If there's one thing we learned from all the zombie movies, The Last of Us, the TV series, is that the zombie's always going to come back, so. enjoy it while you can, damn it.
Yeah, just enjoy it while you can. You know, this is all good.
Hey, so don't forget, now we've got a full slate heading out right now, okay? So we've got, obviously, listen to us on your favorite podcast platform, dropping our regular episodes on Mondays, video on Tuesdays, Monday nights, doing the 90-day Love in Paradise at 9:15, 8:15 Central. Wednesdays, we're back, Married at First Sight recaps at 10, 9 Central, right after the show. And yeah, so I know people have asked about some other shows, and, you know, we did talk about doing some of these old Married at First Sight. So we'll talk about that as well too. So,
yep, yeah, we'll have to talk about that because I have a week of travel coming up too. That's gonna my turn to mess up the schedule.
I don't think he's really going anywhere. He's just like, you know what? I want another week of not watching the show.
Yeah, no, it was a nice break. It was a nice break, but yeah.
Hey, if you're this far already, make sure you like, subscribe, and hit the bell for notifications. Find out when we're live or when we drop new content. I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yep. Send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.
With water.